saw you put it on Facebook too.
Organize all my stuff.
Oh, that's what Sean's been doing. She took a picture of it.
Sean's got her cricket out, and she went to Dollar Tree or Dollar General and bought a whole bunch of little containers.
Yeah.
And she took little labels, and she's got everything labeled.
Yeah, check it.
It's
going to take a few seconds to do it. I'm live with no sound on the announcements.
Y'all been busy at the store, have you? I've got a lawnmower to push, but it's manual. But the belt that runs the gear in the front, it's in the bridge. Yeah, how long, if I drop it off, how long does it take?
A couple weeks?
That I might be.
Well, probably about $15, about $15 for the belt.
Really, that all?
Yeah, it shouldn't be too bad.
Okay, I can get somebody run by.
Or you tell him the brand, he has the, you can look it up for me. I will pick it up Wednesday, and I'll put it on for you.
Oh, okay.
So it's on the back of the mower, usually between the handlebars on the deck and the mower, there's a sticker on there to take a picture of the model number.
Okay.
And I'll get it.
Okay. All right. It's a serious
crap. Yeah, it usually starts with 917.
Okay. I'll be out on your home deck. Okay. Don't worry. Hey, we had Chris McCreen's bolt to the house yesterday.
Yeah.
Yep. Chris Crink?
Oh, we had him with us.
Yep.
Oh.
He put it right over right by our door.
Did you use phone calls or something?
I think Sean used, she gets Groupon stuff all the time.
Oh.
And it was on Groupon.
Oh.
So it was a free delivery. And it was within 30 minutes.
Wow.
He placed an order, and it was one dozen, get another one free.
Oh,
and in one of them, he told it glazed. You couldn't get it sorted.
Right.
But in one of the glazed, they put a glazed one with a smiley face on it.
I think my son. How far was it down when you first saw
it?
You know, I've noticed folks at Walmart the other day that the
Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to Lighthouse Baptist Church here during our 11 o'clock morning worship hour. And we hope that you have had a good week. And we hope that you're staying safe and staying healthy. And we want to say thank you for joining with us today. And if you were with us during the 10 o'clock hour, we hope and pray that it was a blessing to you and encouragement to you. And if you were not able to tune in then, it is recorded and on our sermon audio page. You can go back later. You can listen to the audio there. So let's begin this morning with singing a hymn, and we're going to sing Praise Him, Praise Him. So Pastor Kim, if you will, come and lead us in our worship this morning.
All right, good to see everyone. Let's sing from your living room, from wherever room you're listening or watching in on Facebook today. Praise Him, praise Him.
Picture them sitting there, so that's kind of how I'm dealing with it. But anyway, thank you for joining this morning, and we hope that this morning will be a great blessing to you this morning. Take your Bibles, if you will, to open up this morning with our scripture reading. Go with me, if you will, to the book of Acts. We're going to start off with the book of Acts, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 14, and then we're going to skip down to verses 22 through 32. And then from there, we're going to go to the Psalms. So Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, and then we're going to go down to verses 22 through 32. So God's word says this: But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. Now let's go down to verse 22.
Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite knowledge or definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about Patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. So now, if you will, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm chapter 16. Psalm chapter 16. And follow along with me in God's word as I read it. It says, preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my God. I have no good apart from you. As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion in my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or let your Holy One see corruption. You made known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So as we begin this morning, let us remember that there are some even within our midst that have some illnesses that are very tough and very severe. We have Josue Marilyn's uncle is COVID-19 positive and is in very critical condition. I have not heard anything over the last few days, but is in very critical condition. And then some others that are, think of Jeff Hill, our member here, that is still suffering the effects from his chemo treatments. And then he will have surgery in middle of June to remove his bladder and then put in a new bladder. And so let's continue to pray for him. And then pray for those that are quarantined because of either COVID-19 positive or just trying to be safe. And so let me encourage you, stay safe, stay healthy. Just abide by the orders that have been given to us by the governor and by our local authorities. To only get out unless you have to. But let's pray for all of them together, maybe. Our Father God in heaven, as we gathered this morning, as it's just a few of us that are here, but then we have others that are just spread all throughout this area, Lord, that are tuning in by either on their phones or their laptops or their iPads. They're tuning in through Facebook or will in the future tune in to our sermon audio recording. Father God, we pray that you would bless each and every one that are tuning in today. And Father, we pray that as We broadcast, and as we worship here, and as each and every individual is worshiping in the privacy of their home, we just ask and pray that your word be spread, and that your word be honored, and that your word be glorified. Father, we praise you, Father, that you are the Creator God, that you are great and you are powerful, that you, Father, are an awesome and a holy God, and a God that is sovereign, a God that is eternal, a God that is good and just and patient. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus, for the Holy Spirit, for the gospel, for the word, and for the cross, and for the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, please forgive us of sin. Please forgive us of our sin, of how we have sinned against you and sinned against others. Forgive us, Father, of the sins of our thoughts and our speech and our actions, our attitudes and our motives. Dear Father God, I pray that you would forgive us. I pray, Father, that you would give us a hatred towards what you hate and give us a love towards what you love. May we delight in your will and walk in your ways. And may we strive to please you in our walk with you. May we strive to please you in whether we eat or drink, whatever we do. And Father, those needs that we have mentioned before you already this morning, we do ask and pray that you would meet them. We pray for healing. We pray for grace. We pray for strength. And Father God, I pray now that as we worship here and as we spread out the word, we do ask and pray that your name be honored and worshiped and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing another hymn. So Pastor Kent, come and lead us.
All right, let's lift high the name of Jesus. Jesus, our King.
In my habit as I was walking up here, habitually say before we do the announcements, y'all can be seated. Well, I am assuming that that all of y'all are already seated, probably on your couch, your recliner. Some of y'all are probably still in bed. But anyway, I hope that you're enjoying watching this broadcast this morning. Do want to go over a few announcements, and as Pastor Ken and Diana and Mike, we meet a few minutes before we actually begin at 10 o'clock. We go over the announcements and things, and we discuss that if there's any changes or anything that needs to be made, that we will make them. So we did discuss the possibility of when we will resume, and as of now, if the governor does lift the ban off on April 30th, we are going to have regular services on May the 3rd. So we'll have Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. We will not have a church picnic on May the 3rd because we feel like we need to gradually get back to our normal schedule. And to pull something off like that with a picnic of bringing in grills and everybody signing up for food and all those things, it's going to take a number of weeks in order to line everything up. So we're just going to bypass the picnic for now. We'll look at maybe June time frame, but then we have Father's Day coming up in June and some other things. So we may just put it off to the fall. We'll just look and see how the schedule pans out. But as of now, we will not be having the church picnic on the 3rd. So instead of not having the picnic, we'll go ahead and have a regular Sunday morning, or Sunday school Sunday morning, and then Sunday night Bible study. Now, once again, let me encourage you, if we are able to resume back on May the 3rd, let me encourage you, if you do not feel that it is safe enough for you to get out and to come to church, we're going to try to make it as available as we possibly can for everyone. We're going to have hand sanitizer out, plenty of hand soap and all of those things. If you have masks, wear them to church. But do all those things. But if you still do not feel safe enough to get out, then please stay home. We're not going to make it an issue at all. We're not going to make any pressure at all for anybody to come to church. We want you to feel comfortable at your timing to be able to come back to church. But we are going to, as of now, we are going to have the Mother's Day breakfast on the 9th. And then we're going to celebrate Mother's Day on the 10th. And then Memorial Day Sunday, we'll be having communion. That will also be our benevolent offering Sunday. And no Sunday night service on Memorial Day Sunday. And then we have our June schedule. I will be putting out a separate email tomorrow. I put out my Sunday takeaway email on Monday, Mondays. But I'll be putting out a separate email tomorrow, and this will be the subject line, will be Vacation Bible School. So I will list on there the areas of ministry that you can work during Vacation Bible School that you can sign up and help out. And there's going to be a numerous number of things, and it is going to be upon us before we know it. So Sean has asked me if I will put out a separate email tomorrow. We'll have all of the jobs. So if you will either text Sean or you can respond to the email, and Sean will be tagged on the email, or she will receive the replies back of what area of ministry you want to work. And if you have not had, if you are desiring to work in Vacation Bible School, but we have not done a criminal background check on you, we will need to do that before you can get into working with Vacation Bible School. But it is going to be upon us before you know it. So look for that coming out tomorrow. And then before I read this week's missionary letter, I want to thank so many of you that have been very faithful in your giving and been very faithful in dropping off your giving or mailing your giving. I want to say thank you for that, and I want to thank Kim Bozeman for coming in, and she's been coming in once or twice a week, and then we have a couple of men that come in on Sunday afternoon, and they count the giving, and they deposit it. But let me give you a brief praise. We did qualify for the Small Business Administration PPP loan that can pay my salary. 75% of it goes to my salary, and the remaining 25% will go to towards utilities, towards any kind of interest that we have on loans, which we only have one, and that's the open line of credit through the bank. But Dwayne Jacobs at Lundy worked very hard and very diligent to get that pushed through for us. And if we're able to justify back to them after the 8-week period that every bit of it went towards payroll, utilities, interest on a bank, then we will not have to pay it back. So Kim and is already looking at how the best way to document all those things. We were given a worksheet of how we can document every dime. So thank you, but with that being said, let me encourage you to still give, okay? Just because we got this loan, which hopefully will turn into a grant, we don't have to pay any of it back. Even if we do have to pay it back, it is only a 1% interest, so it's not very much at all. But do not let that keep you from giving. We still have our missionaries we have to support. We support 7 missionaries. In fact, to be honest with you, we had to cut back on how much we are giving our missionaries because our giving has dropped considerably. But if you can mail it, if you can drop it off here at the church, that would be wonderful. But let me encourage you to remain faithful in your giving. So our missionary this week is from Ed Wardell, and I'm going to give you just a quick synopsis of his letter this week. He says, "Dear Pastor Smith, I trust this letter finds everyone in your family and ministry doing well. All of us have had to face many challenges in these past several weeks in our ministries. I am mindful and sensitive of the complexity that the coronavirus has brought to your family and church family emotionally and financially. Rest assured of our prayer support for you all as you face the days ahead. He says, in Costa Rica, like the rest of the world, that Costa Rica is shut down. That 3 weeks ago, everything that generates the economy was closed. So fortunately, some families have been able to continue working from home. But however, the majority of our families were forced to stop working without any compensation. So they do not have unemployment insurance like our nation does. So as of today, there are 539 cases with 3 deaths in our country. It is relatively a small number in comparison to other countries around the world. However, the economical impact is going to be devastating over the next year. And he is having to use Skype and Zoom in order to reach his people as well. But he ends by saying this. He says, "We are in the process of learning to be content in whatsoever state we find ourselves. Living by experience and practicing our faith, we look unto the Lord for our guidance and help during this time. God has always supplied our every need throughout years, never failing us along life's journeys. We know that during these times, He will continue to provide for all of us as we continue moving forward by faith. I want to thank each one of you for your sacrificial power and financial support of our ministry. I truly understand the unique days in which we are living and the difficult days that you and I are facing. Please continue to be found faithful in the work of the Lord. God bless you, your friend and servant, Ed Wardell." So before we have our next hymn, let's pray for him, and let's pray for all of our missionaries as they go through this time of uncertainty as well. Father God in heaven, as this is normally our offering time, Father, help us, Lord, as a body of believers to remain faithful in our giving of our tithes and our offerings. And Father, we do thank you and we praise you that we were able to qualify for the PPP loan through our government, and that is to be able to keep our heads at, or maybe even get us above water somewhat. And we do thank you for that. We praise you for it, and help us, Lord, as a body of believers believers and this church, Lord, to be very faithful in making sure that those funds are used wisely. But also, Lord, all of our tithes and offerings that are given, help us to be wise in how we use them. And Father, we pray also, Lord, for our missionaries. We pray for Pastor Ken with Wells of Living Water. We pray for Ed Wardell in Costa Rica. We pray for Justin and Rachel Rhodes in London, James and Lauren Peavy in the Dominican, and the couple that we support in Washington. We do pray for them. And also, Lord, as we look ahead as a church of how we can continue to support them, and maybe in the future, in the very near future, once we get back into some sort of normalcy, we'll be able to support them back to what our regular monthly giving was, and maybe even increase our giving to them. And then also, Lord, as we look to the future, as we look to possibly taking groups, individuals in groups to these missionaries, of how we can visit them and encourage them and help them in their work. And Father God, I pray that you would bless. We want to be good stewards, and help us to do that, and help us to be that. In the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Ken, come and lead us in our last song of worship.
This song was chosen on purpose. We are, many of us, stuck in our homes. Some are getting back to work, others are not yet. But we still need to send the gospel out. So maybe we can think of some ways this week, even from our homes, that we can send the gospel to the world around us. Jesus said, "So send I you."
Thank you for all of that. And so let's get right into the God's Word this morning. So let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to look at one verse this morning. One verse this morning. And that's from Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 this morning. And we're going to begin, as we have been going through the book of Philippians. We're talking about the theme of striving together. So last week we broke off because of Easter, but today we're getting right back to our study of the book of Philippians. So we are continuing our study of the book of Philippians, and the name of our study once again is entitled Together We Strive. So all of us from time to time we need reminders and we need reinforcements. We all need to be reminded from time to time about the basics of the Christian life. Every year during the college football season, when after the end of the regular season, before the bowl season, football teams, when the coaches are interviewed and asked, well, what are you going to be doing during this break of in between the regular season and the bowl season? They always say this: we are getting back to the basics. We are getting back to learning how to block and learning how to tackle and learning how to throw and getting through some of the injuries that we have incurred throughout the regular season. So we're getting back to the basics. Well, we're going to look this morning about one of the basics of the Christian life. We all need to be reminded about this, that we have never and will never arrive spiritually. That we are always growing. And that the spiritual growth in the life of the believer is of utmost importance. And the biblical term for the spiritual growth of the believer is a biblical term called sanctification. And sanctification is a biblical word that simply means this: it is a divine act of making the believer increase in his or her holiness on a practical level. So once again, let me give that to you. It is the divine act of making the believer increase in his or her holiness on a practical level. So we must always remember that our spiritual growth or our sanctification, it is a process. It is a lifelong process of pursuing holiness, of being like Christ and growing in our holiness and godliness. We can also define it this way: sanctification is God's work in the believer who is justified through the power of the Holy Spirit. In other words, let me give it to you this way. Salvation is an instantaneous event in the life of the believer. Sanctification, however, is the spiritual growth of the believer. Just like when a child is born, they are instantly become a person after they are born. Well, they're a person in the womb, but I think you understand what I'm saying. The salvation is the new birth, and sanctification is the spiritual growth. Just like Christ told Nicodemus in John 3, he said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we need to grow in our sanctification. First of all, we must be born again, trust the finished work of Christ. Secondly, grow in our sanctification. But sadly, many people are born again, but they remain babies in Christ. They remain baby Christians. Their growth is stunted. They have a disease. There is a disorder in many babies that they end up having to be admitted into the hospital to be given IVs because they have a disorder called failure to thrive. Well, there are many believers that, yes, they are born again, but they are suffering through failure to thrive. So many people, yes, believers, wonder, okay, I'm born again. What do I do next? What do I do next as a new believer in Christ? What are the steps I need to take in order to grow, to become more mature? Peter said it like this in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. He said, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. He also went on to say in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. So now let's look at our text first this morning. We're going to pray, and then we'll get into the working through this text today. So let's look at verse 12 of Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my absence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I want you to note that expression, underline it in your Bible, work out your own salvation. So let's pray together, and then we'll get into the working of this text. Father God, we thank you for your word. And Father, this is not the words of Paul, but these are your words that were dictated to him through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write down these words that we now have, the Bible. And Father, as we look now at your word, I do ask and pray that your word now would teach us of how we must grow in our sanctification. And how do we do it? Teach us now of how we can grow in our sanctification and the role of the believer in sanctification. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. So I want you to note a term here. I ask you to underline it. And that is work out. To work out. The Greek word for the words work out is the Greek word katergazomai. It simply means this. It means to perform. It means to accomplish. It means to achieve. It means to work it out in order to produce a certain result, to bring about, to have a result, to have a fashion, to render one fit for a thing. To simply break it down, it means this. It is specifically calling for the constant energy and effort necessary to finish a task. Now, I want you to note something. It does not say to work for your own salvation. We cannot do anything to work for our salvation. That work was accomplished by Christ on the cross. And when you trust what we phrase it here as the finished work of the cross, what Christ performed on the cross, that he died for the sins of the believer. He died, and last week we looked at the resurrection. He died, was buried, he rose again. But what does it mean to work out our sanctification? To work out our own salvation? What does that mean? Well, I'm going to give you several this morning, so follow along with me. We're going to go step by step through this one verse of how we, as a body of believers, and as an individual, strive together to work out our salvation. So the first thing that I want you to look at is in the very beginning of this verse. It says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. So the first way that we work out our salvation is number one. We work out our salvation in our example. We work it out in our example. Now I want you to note the very first word there of verse 12. We have the word therefore. Now in the Holman Christian Bible and also the New American Standard Bible, it has this word more accurately translated. It is more accurately translated in this way. So then. So then. So now let's go to verse 11. Now we have to remember, as I have said many times, that we do not, that what we have is we have the Bible broken down in chapters and verses. But when it was originally written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses. It was later, centuries later, that it was broken down into chapters and verses. So if you want to look at it as it was written originally in a letter form, this is how it was read. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So then, my beloved. So then, my beloved. So it is a continuation of verse 11. It is referring back to the example that was lived out in the life of Jesus Christ. His life was a perfect example of three things. Let's go back to verses 5 through 8. Where it says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So, what ways did he live just in these three verses? Was he the perfect example? Number one, humility. Number two, submission. Number three, obedience. John said it this way in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where John is encouraging us. He says, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. So, number one, how do we work out our salvation? First, we work it out in our example. So now let's continue looking at this verse. So we see now, it says, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence. But I want you to note another word at the very beginning here, and that is the word beloved. Beloved. So we see that we are to work it out in our salvation, in our example. Secondly, we work out our salvation by knowing that we are loved. So I want you to note the word beloved. The word beloved. Oftentimes when I listen to other pastors, and I can remember growing up and I was listening to different pastors growing up in different churches. Many of those older pastors would use the word beloved. I have heard Dr. John MacArthur in his sermons when he is speaking to his congregation, he uses the word beloved. What does it mean by this? Well, it comes from the Greek word agapetos. It simply means this. It means beloved. It means esteemed. It means dear. It means favorite. It means worthy of love. So let me break it down for you of how we work in our salvation by knowing that we are loved. Well, we must remember, first of all, that the Philippian church was a church that faced many obstacles. They were a church that faced many obstacles and disappointments, failures. They were a group of people that had many weaknesses and many shortcomings. They were constantly being bombarded by the influences of the world, by false teachers, by Jewish legalists, abusers of God's grace. If you look farther back, and we'll get into it as we get into, in a few weeks, get in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, where it says, for many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. And then they were also bombarded by disunity within the church. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 2, there were two members in particularly that an issue had arose in between these two individuals in the church. And the Apostle Paul is writing in this letter where he says they were also being bombarded with disunity among the members. And he writes, "I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to live in harmony in the Lord." So the Apostle Paul is emphasizing to the church at Philippi that in spite of their weaknesses, in spite of their disappointments, in spite of their defeats, in spite of their discouragement, in spite of their failures, in spite of their flesh, in spite of being bombarded by outside influences, and yes, sadly, from time to time, there was disunity among the flock, he still loved them. So we need to remember that we are a body of believers that has weaknesses. We have times of disappointment. We have times of defeat. We have times of discouragement. We have times of failures. There are times that we will feel bombarded by outside influences. There will be, maybe even from time to time, it will become an issue between church member and church member. We need to remember that love must always be the major thing within the body of Christ. Remember what Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said that I can preach with the voice of great eloquence, but if there is no love behind it, then all I'm doing is just making a bunch of noise. So the first thing is that we need to know that we are living by a life of example. Secondly, by a life of love. And thirdly, let's look at the middle part where it says that you have always obeyed. That you have always obeyed. So number three, we work out our salvation by understanding that we are to be obedient to the Lord. That word obey comes from the Greek word hypakeo, which means to listen or it means to hearken. In other words, as a believing people, we are called to not only listen to what God's word says, we are to obey what God says. Remember what God told the disciples at the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. He says, "While he was still speaking, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" That word "listen" is from that same word of obedience, where it is saying, "Obey him." The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 4:11 says this, "Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest, so that no one will fall through following or obeying the same example of disobedience." And then fourthly, we see another thing. And that is, we are to work out our own salvation with two things. So number four, we are to work out our salvation by comprehending our personal obligations. By our personal obligations. The Apostle Paul says, not only that you obey, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence. We need to remember this. We need to remember that believers are sinful. That we sin. Even though we are justified, we still sin. Even though we are justified and we have been saved from the penalty of sin, we still sin because we still have this thing called our flesh. We still have to battle our flesh. It's like the Apostle Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" He said, "The things that I want to do, I am not doing them, and the things that I know I'm supposed to be doing, I'm not doing them." So the Apostle Paul is commending the church at Philippi that in his presence they were obedient to the things of the Lord. Now he is reminding them that in my absence you must remain faithful. Let's go back to chapter 1 and let's look at verse 27, where God's word says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." And then lastly, number 5, we work out our own salvation by knowing the aftermath of sin. We work out our salvation by knowing the aftermath of sin. I want us to look at these two words, fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. The Greek word for fear is the word that we get phobia from. It's the Greek word phobos. It means two things, a fright or a terror. Or it means this, a reverential awe. And then we have the Greek word for trembling is tromos. It means a trembling or a quaking with fear. Let me summarize it this way. It means to live in fear and trembling. It means to recognize our own sinfulness and our own weakness. But it could also mean this, that in our fear and trembling, we are also to have a deep admiration and love for the Lord. We fear Him because we love Him. See, although God is a merciful God, not only even though He is a loving God, even though He is a forgiving God, He will forgive us because He said in His word, if we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But He is still a God that will hold believers accountable for our disobedience. Now, I want you to go back to the book of Proverbs. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. And I want us to look at 3 verses throughout the book of Proverbs that talks about the fear of God. 15 times in the book of Proverbs, it talks about the fear of the Lord. I'm going to give you 3 this morning. They are not on your notes, so if you want to write them there in the margin of your notes, or maybe write them in the margin of your Bible. But Philippians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." You want to know how to have biblical knowledge? Begin with the fear of the Lord. Begin with that fear and trembling. Recognize our sinfulness, recognize our weakness, and fear Him because we love Him. Have that deep admiration and love for the Lord. Now, chapter 8, verse 13, same book. Chapter 8, verse 13. Once again, we have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, and the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. That word hate is a very strong word. But this is what our prayer needs to be each and every day. Lord, help me to hate what you hate, but help me to love what you love. God hates pride. He hates all forms of evil. He hates all perverted speech. He hates arrogance. but he loves righteousness. And then one last one is in chapter 14 and verse 26. Chapter 14, verse 26. In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. You know how to be strong in the Lord? I've had people ask me, how can I be strong in the Lord? How can I be confident in the Lord? And as we talked in Sunday school this morning, we talked about having our hope in the Lord. How do we have our hope in the Lord? Have the fear of God. Have the fear of God, once again, to live in fear, to recognize our sinfulness and our weakness, but also to have a deep admiration and love for the Lord and fear Him because we love Him. So let me give you two applications this morning. Number one, what effort are you putting into your personal sanctification and spiritual growth? See, sanctification is a two-way street. Yes, God gives us the power, and we're going to look at that next week. Today we talked about our role in sanctification. Next week we're going to look at God's role in sanctification. But it's a two-way street. God works, but we also work. So what effort are you putting into your personal sanctification, your spiritual growth? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you talking to others about Christ? Are you sharing your gospel? Do people know that you are a Christian? Secondly, our daily life must be a life in pursuing godliness, pursuing Christ-likeness, looking, talking, and acting like Christ. How do we do that? We are to renounce sin, confess sin, and repent and believe the gospel. So now go with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to look at verses 24 through 27, and then we'll pray, we'll sing a hymn, and then we'll be dismissed. Verse 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, God's word says this. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may attain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body, keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. You know how many times with people, and especially in races and athletic events, how they become disqualified? They quit disciplining themselves. They broke the rules. This past year, Major League Baseball was rocked with a team that won the World Series. It was found that the team had cheated, that they broke the rules. Players that were on that team that had become managers of other teams were fired from their teams because the managers feared that if they cheated as a player, then they would probably cheat as a manager. They were disqualified. May we, as followers of Christ, discipline ourselves, discipline our bodies, discipline our minds, our thoughts, our speech, and actions, so that we will not be disqualified. So what is your role as a believer in sanctification? Well, it's those things that we just talked about in verse 12. So let me go over them once again. We work it out in our example. And knowing that we are loved, the third thing, we are obedient to the Lord. The fourth thing, by our personal obligations. And then lastly, by knowing the aftermath of sin. Let's pray together, maybe. Our Father how convicting your word can be to us, but also, Lord, how comforting it can be. And Father God, I pray that now as we conclude our time this morning, may what we learned in chapter 2 and verse 12, may it be sealed in our hearts and our minds and help us to apply it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Ken, dismiss us in our heaven and lead us in our dismissal.
Just to show you the Holy Spirit working, Pastor, you don't know this, but a listener this morning, Shar Housing, just wrote two words to us back, Amazing Grace. And guess what song we have chosen to sing this morning to close the service? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Tonight at 6 o'clock. Lord bless you. Have a great day.